But it is also better known as Wrapped Up in Books by Belle and Sebastian. The reason I'm playing that was because I went along earlier this week to an event organised by the Cambridge Publishing Society. Julie Bamford was there to talk about her book about heifers. I grabbed a quick word with her while I could. So the book is called... This book is about heifers, the bookshop that is known all over the world. Is that true, Julie? Is heifers known all over the world?
Oh, most definitely. And from the very earliest part of the 20th century, heifers were using that slogan, known all over the world, from probably around 1900. And by the early 20th century, they were already sending thousands of catalogues to account holders all over the world. In 1909, they sent out about 60,000 catalogues at a very expensive operation, really. It cost over £200 to send those catalogues out, and that's the equivalent of over £21,000 just on postage.
So how big a firm were they initially? I mean, I'm presuming their premises weren't on Trinity Street as they are now.
No, the very first shop was opened in 1876 in Fitzroy Street. Of course, at that time, Fitzroy Street was out of town, not really a part of the town centre. And then 20 years later, William Heffer decided to open a bookshop in Pedicury, in the centre of town. It was partly because of the competition in bookselling. William was very keen on discounting university textbooks, and that caused a lot of hostility between William Heffer and the other academic booksellers in town. But then eventually those booksellers decided that they would offer the discount too, so William decided that he'd better move into town to meet the threat on its own ground. They were his words.
So William Heffer, so there was a Heffer's family behind Heffer's?
Most definitely. William, well, he had very unbookish beginnings, really. He started his working life in the rural parish of Burwell at the age of 13. He was just delivering parcels to nearby villages in a donkey and cart. But his great love was horses. So he went on to work as a groom. He also, before he opened his first shop, worked as a pub landlord, two public houses in Cambridge, the Sir John Barleycorn and the Forester. And he did that whilst he was a member of the Temperance Society. So he had to earn a living, and, you know, that's what he did. But his real love actually was horses, not books, in the beginning.
And is there a kind of character to Heffer's bookshop? I mean, it's very loved in Cambridge, but is there a character to it over the years, certain values that have followed through?
Yes, I think Heffer's has had and still has great style, and I think that's down to the strong characters in the firm. Not just members of the Heffer family, but booksellers and bibliophiles that really got involved in promoting the publishing and the bookselling. People like the late Frank Collison, who I interviewed for the book. I was very lucky to meet Frank before he died. And he was very sort of strong in terms of the character and style of promoting Heffer's. They just had great style.
And what drew you to this particular subject?
I've known Heffer's all my life. I'm from an old Cambridge family, and not just known Heffer's in terms of the Saturday morning routine, where I'd always go to the children's bookshop in Trinity Street. That was my favourite, to spend my pocket money. But my family worked for the firm. My family served over 120 years with the firm, and my great-grandfather, Frederick, was one of two booksellers taken on by Heffer's when they opened the Pedicury bookshop in 1896. So really, it's in the blood.
And what were your sources of research?
We have a small family archive, so wonderful news cuttings, photographs, programmes of events, all sorts of things that date back to around 1900. But also, I put out the word in Cambridge via social media and via the press that I wanted to talk to people who had memories of the firm. And I ended up interviewing around 60 people, former and current employees, customers, authors, and people just generally with memories of the firm. And it's a lot of fun researching something like that.
And as you say, it was founded in 1876.
Yes.
So it went through two world wars.
Yes.
How did it survive the war years?
Actually, I think it did pretty well. My great-grandfather, for example, he actually didn't serve in the First World War. He was lame from an accident with a horse and cart years earlier. So he was exempt from service. But of course, there were members of the staff who did serve, members like Duncan Littlechild, a very characterful bookseller who actually was a prisoner of war in the First World War. But actually, during the wars, they actually did okay. So there is something about the ebullience and the confidence of the firm that I think that carried it through. And there were, of course, women working for the firm. William Heffer had 9 children, and 7 of them went into the business, including his daughters. So they were running pedicurery whilst their family members were serving or doing other things. But no, I think in a way, I wouldn't say they were untouched by world events, but certainly the 20th century was an extraordinarily strong time for the firm.
And is it a story of drama? Are there ups and downs?
Yes, there were, of course, ups and downs. And there was actually one surprise that I discovered, and this was a fire at Pedicurie in 1946 that was deliberately started by a disgruntled customer. And it devastated the bookshop, a lot of damage. It was something that actually my family had never talked about. There were ups and downs. Heffers really, they didn't just have a sense of style, they liked a sense of occasion. So in terms of the ups, they were always ready to celebrate a special event. They had big staff dinners, for example, in 1970 to open Trinity Street. The staff fondly remember the big occasions, and they had annual outings, which were a lot of fun.
Well, when we speak to you, Julie, it's 2 for the price of 1, because on the other side of me, I've got your husband here, Trevor. Now, Trevor wants to talk to you because you founded, I believe, this prize, the Bookseller Diagram Prize for the oddest book title of the year.
Yes.
The most obvious question, why did you do that? I mean, thank goodness you did, because I've seen some of the book titles that won, but why?
It was during the Frankfurt Book Fair. I was working with a company that book packages. We create books, illustrated non-fiction books, and we would go every year to the Frankfurt Book Fair. One of the things that we had to do, one of the exercises, was to get around and see what everybody else was doing, not just the UK publishers, but worldwide, what sort of things were going on in other books. And if you spend 5 days looking constantly at books, you get book blind. You just stop seeing things, and you realise after about 10 minutes you've picked up about 30 books, looked at them, and you can't remember anything about them. Well, on one occasion, one of my colleagues came back for a tea break and he said, I've just seen a book called, and he gave the title, I don't recall what that was, but it was hilarious. It was an English title and it just didn't make sense in what we would think of the normal world. And that started us all off trying to find a better title. And what we were looking for were the oddities, the eccentric titles, things perhaps that, in their own context, probably make very good sense, but in the context of some young people looking around and using their imagination, they were very funny. And having done that, it occurred to me that we could share the contest. So I contacted the bookseller, the magazine, and suggested we sponsor a prize, an annual prize, for the oddest title at the Frankfurt Book Fair. And this has been going on now since whenever it started in 1978.
Yeah. Give me a few of the ones that have won. Give me your outright winner, lass, but name a few.
The first one was the... Oh, dear, Julie will have to prompt me. It was the...
It was annual Proceedings of the Second International Workshop on Nude Mice.
Another one that comes to mind is The Madame as Entrepreneur, which was a management guide for brothel keepers. quite a serious publication. When I left the company, I put in my own entry for the competition, and this was Keeping Warm with an Axe, which, again, a serious title for people who live in places where you can cut down trees and keep warm with an axe. But in the context of an international book fair, it seemed funny.
And the one I saw that Julie's got on one of her slides, How to Poo on a Date.
Yes, this is a more recent one. There have been, I think, a spate of deliberately invented titles. I know for a fact that there were people at the Frankfurt Book Fair putting up books that they didn't intend to publish, but with odd titles in the hope they'd get a mention in the competition. Yes, How to Poo on a Date was, I believe it was a follow-up to another odd title in a similar context.
Yeah, I think it was 2013 that book won the prize, and I have actually seen it in Heffers. It's for sale in Heffers.
Brilliant. I wonder how it sells. And do you have an outright favourite, Trevor?
It's very difficult to recall them all because they all sort of blend together. I'd have to have a look and see.
Well, the big book of lesbian horse stories, bomb-proofing your horse, goblin-proofing one's chicken coop.
I've not actually used
these, but yes, serious books, one thinks. They weren't all Heffers publications, of course. The prize started after Heffers publications wound down. They wound down in about 1975. But I think some Heffers titles would be strong contenders for this prize.
In Julie's research, came across one Heffer title which was so intriguing. We had to try and get hold of a copy of the book, the original, which we managed to do, and that's Don'ts for Choirmasters.
Don'ts, as in opposed to do's?
Yes.
It was a follow-up book to Don'ts for Church Organists.
Right. Just very restricted professions, aren't they?
Yes.
They are. Having acquired a copy of the original, we have republished it, and it's selling very successfully in a small way.
Yes, we just had another order from St Paul's Cathedral for it this morning.
And what do they win, the publishers, writers?
The prize for the competition is a bottle of champagne, and that's what I proposed when we started. And in fact, what happened was that the very first year competition was run, the bookseller magazine were getting inquiries from as far afield as Australia as to who had won and what the winning title might be. And they sort of took over the competition. We never had to supply the champagne. So it carried on with the Diagram Group name, which is the company I worked with, and we've never had to provide a bottle of champagne at all.
Well, long may it continue. Well, we're here at the Cambridge Publishing Society, Julie, for your talk. What do you find the reaction is to the Heffers book?
The Heffers book always produces a very warm response, and I think it's because Heffers is such a known and loved Cambridge institution. I do a lot of talks, and there is always someone in the audience who is willing to share their memories and really connects with some of the characters and the anecdotes and stories that I share. And I do always enjoy that. And today, focusing on the Heffers publishing side, Heffers really did very well with their publishing, which is why I called the talk Some Truths About Opium. That happened to be a 1923 paper that Heffers published. But I think the first half of the 20th century particularly was a very heady time for the publishing. They were doing pretty well and enjoying it, I think.
Yep, there was a book called How to Poo on a Date. Yeah. Yeah, that was Trevor Bamford there and his wife Julie Bamford. Julie was talking about her book. This book is about Heffers, the bookshop that is known all over the world. It's published by Gotta Have Books, and you can get a copy by going to gottahavebooks.co.uk. And they were both speaking at an event organised by the Cambridge Publishing Society. Thank you very much to them for helping to set up that interview. And you can find out more about the Cambridge Publishing Society at their website, which is Cambridge Publishing Society. wordpress.com.